We'll turn it over to item number 22.
We're not going to take a break with the chairman.
That's right. Good afternoon, commissioners. My name is Sam Taylor. I'm with the Human Resources Program here at the department. I'm here to speak with you today about a 2018 ADA rule package. We are here today for briefing and public hearing. The WACs that we'll be addressing today will be WACs 220-200-160 through 220-200-190, WAC 220-305-120, WAC 220-413-140, and WAC 220-413-210. We're very proud of our ADA program here at the department. We're very proud of the services that we offer. Some of those services I'd like to address very quickly. For hunting purposes, of course, we offer a road access program, hunting blinds, permits for special hunts and general season hunts. For those that wish to fish, we offer ramps, pods, deck out, and dock access. And we have special disability fisheries. For wildlife viewing, we, of course, offer viewing platforms, blinds, paths, and benches, some of which you all heard about yesterday. We also offer equipment modifications and reduced rate licensing. Our program here in the state is one of the forerunners in the area. I'm sorry?
Question, sir.
Yes, sir.
Under fishing, you have ramps, pods.
Yes, it has to do with when we experience a fishing restriction such that you can't fish from a boat and the shoreline may not be accessible. We may in that instance use pods for persons to be able to tie a boat to be stationary, to be able to fish. I know that makes a little, let me try to explain it. Assume we have a river. And we want somebody to fish in it, but our fishing season is limited so that we can only fish from shore. A person with a disability has difficulty participating in that if they have a walking disability or a mobility disability, and they're unable to participate in that opportunity. In that situation, at times, we will use the ability to have somebody take a boat into that area and then fix it in place so that they can participate in the fishery. Now, when they do that, there are restrictions and conditions that may go with that. For example, we may want them to tie up close to shore. So it simulates fishing from the side of the bank of a river. The object, of course, is to provide an equal opportunity or an opportunity to access this fishing opportunity in those instances. Does that help you, sir?
Yeah, I just didn't know if this was a device I wasn't
familiar with. No, sir. We actually get kind of creative with this stuff. Flexibility is one of those things that's very valuable to us. Continuing on, the only point I wanted to make is we do more in Washington than most states. Matter of fact, we're one of the leaders in this area, both based on the number of accommodations we offer and the scope and breadth of them. I'd like to touch just real quickly on some major numbers having to do with our ADA access services. Currently, we have 136,607 persons inside of our system registered as persons having disabilities. Of that number, 54,000 is the five-year average number of people who are licensed to either hunt or fish during a given year that are identified as having a disability. Of that number of 54,000, 32,000 are veterans. What that means to you all is approximately 60% of the people that are registered with us as having disabilities and acquiring reasonable accommodation and other services are veterans. They're a large audience for us. And of that number, 2,198 currently receive special use permits. The legal parameters for what we are doing here, federally, it's the Rehabilitation Act of 1973 and Title II of the Americans with Disabilities Act. Locally in the state of Washington, of course, it's our Washington law against discrimination. These are the laws that afford people opportunities to participate in our services and command that we offer those. And these are also the laws that give right to civil rights to those people that would use our programs.
So, Sam, could you go back just one?
Sure.
One place. Those are very impressive numbers. We mentioned this yesterday. I mean, in the world of politics that we live in, have we strategized how to promote and utilize not just the numbers but the organizations representing those numbers? Because we also talked yesterday about new partnerships.
Yes, we did.
Non-traditional partnerships. And, you know, when you just look at 32,000 active license holders that are veterans, mm-hmm. you know, I just start, you know, and 137,000 registered that. So I know there's not a quick answer to this, but it's one that as we look towards an uncertain financial future, I think we have allies that have not been utilized to their fullest.
I would absolutely agree with you. As you know from yesterday's hearing or briefing with the ADA Advisory Committee, one of the members in particular has taken it on as her task to reach into groups we haven't reached before. For example, the Spina Bifida Associations. We have a gentleman also on that committee that intends to do a big part of his plan or his push is reaching out to the Veterans Associations and the different rehabilitation facilities throughout the state. He's very well tied into that. He is a rehabilitation counselor himself at the VA and, of course, has all those connections. So we've been reaching out traditionally to our hunting and fishing groups. The effort the committee's making is to go beyond that and go out to some of these other groups that aren't specifically hunting and fishing groups, but they're groups of persons with disabilities who are maybe not aware of what we offer, that maybe aren't aware of our services, so that, and I can just think of the rehabilitation facility that Mr. Zubrick's working with in particular. They've got a youth outdoors group that is nearby. He made contact with them, and they had no idea we could do special use permits. Well, that's sort of the backbone of our ADA program. That would be rather important knowledge we'd like to get out. And so some of the efforts we're making with that group are really great outreach. You know, these people gave thought to what they were doing. And I'm so proud that the commission took the time and interest to go out and search out these types of individuals with such an incredible, diverse background with all these different groups. The synergy we're seeing with that group is fantastic. So,
Commissioner.
Well, I thought that I had your note that our state is a leader in this area. It might be something to think about for a future WAFWA meeting to put together a panel presentation on the work that we're doing, because I'm sure it would be of real interest, especially if we're a leader to our partner agencies.
Or we could ratchet that up to AFWA.
Yeah, or AFWA. Yeah.
And I'll have to apologize. You guys are talking in alphabets.
Washington.
We're just making it up.
No.
Western.
I'm sure I'll get filled in at all the
Western Association of Fish and Wildlife Agencies, and then the American Association of Fish and Wildlife Agencies. So they have WAFWA particularly has meetings twice a year, and they're looking for this kind of sharing information. So it would be great.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. I would be delighted to assist the members of the committee go that direction. They certainly have expressed interest in it. everything from putting together specific manuals. One of them's talking about what she calls a rogue, Melissa Espinosa. And what she's referencing is that material. She's seen the material we've got, yeah. Right, that we give out at our sports shows or whatever. She's talking about developing material beyond that. Hey, these are the kinds of accommodations, if you didn't know, that you could use. So even though you're in a wheelchair, we can take you hunting. Look at all these things that we have for you. Z's idea of getting to all the rehabilitation counselors throughout the VA and the state's phenomenal. Imagine how many people that is. Imagine how many of those rehabilitation counselors would take full advantage.
So how can we help that become a reality?
I would... Good question. I'm trying to support the committee as best I can. Obviously, they are looking for resources. As a matter of fact, I talked with them again today, and the television from yesterday we sent out to them so they could show it in their regions to the people they're working with. They are, in essence, doing their own marketing,
yeah.
Believe it or not. So to the extent that we can make efforts to support them, I'm all over it. I think that would be great, and I would fully encourage it. I'm sorry, I don't have anything more specific. I just wasn't
plan. Yeah, I think this, you know, it all kind of chimes together. But looking at new allies,
mm-hmm.
you know, that are politically in a positive way, not partisan-based, that you know, new customer base. There's just so many positive political spins on this that not just a spin, but doing the right thing.
Absolutely. The synergy can be incredible when you start to go to some of these other audiences. Not only have they been through this sort of thing before, but they have the means and ability to really give this kind of thing a jump start. So just on a personal level, I'm a big believer in that whole public-private partnership thing, because it gets the community to buy into what's happening.
Exactly.
And I'm a big believer in that, and it's certainly something we've been talking about with that committee. And Charles Graveler, he's busy putting together his whole network there. Remember he talked about that yesterday? He's meeting with his team today. This is a team of people that he's going to be asking money from to complete some ADA accessibility projects in his area. And he wants to show this to them because they meet monthly. I mean, he's setting this up as a firm group going forward. So things that we can do to support that, yes, absolutely.
And don't hesitate to call on us.
Yeah.
I mean, to let us know, you know. You can do it through me, through Commissioner Thornburn, you know, but...
I would be more than happy
to. Just call Commissioner Keogh for everything.
I think in light of our meeting yesterday, I think our group is meeting again May 14th to develop a proposal for you all to accomplish some very specific projects.
Good.
So we're delighted to be pushing forward. It's a group where the more they do and the more they succeed, they have explosive growth coming out of it. So a very dynamic group.
Thank you.
Yep. Amy, did you want to say something?
Okay. Very good. I'm sorry. Getting back very quickly. Mentioning our federal laws, we did have a new law that just got enacted in late March of this year. And this was a good law for us. We were excited. We supported this all the way through. The law asks us to do certain things, which actually motivated us to do the regulation package you see in front of you today. In particular, this regulation did certain things. First of all, it directed the director to grant a disability designation to those persons that meet eligibility criteria as established by rule, which meant we had to make sure that our regulations properly defined eligibility criteria. Additionally, it asked us to define disability designation, a term that had been used for several years but never defined. It also asked us to adopt rules governing conduct of persons with special use permit. An unfortunate side effect of being successful issuing special use permits is sometimes people don't always use them with the wisdom that perhaps you wish they would. And so sometimes we have conduct issues. This law asked us to go ahead and adopt rules governing conduct and also providing a due process, appeal process, and a very quick one, so that if there was some issue regarding what was the proper use, it could be decided quickly. I'm particularly pleased, we'll get to the rule in just a second, that we've decided to use an actual administrative law judge. So it is a strict due process setup now, and I'm very pleased for that that move. Also, we're going to be dealing with some conduct of companions. When you use companion hunters, there was some issue as to exactly what they could or couldn't do and who was responsible if it wasn't done exactly right. So that was addressed as well. The purpose of these rules are, again, the same sort of focus. Again, we're going to be defining eligibility criteria, conduct for both participants and their companions, dealing with special use permits. We're issuing a new regulation on a topic we don't have before. We had our first request for an accommodation for a trapper, and we have proposed, as part of this package, a trapping regulation that would allow an accommodation for persons who wish to participate in that. To our knowledge, one of the first of any state to offer such a thing. There was, in addition to the law requesting us to define certain things and to justify things, we took the opportunity while we were here to take a look at our entire package. This package had previously been evaluated in a sort of piecemeal fashion, and the concern was that as we did that, the terms of use became imprecise. Definitions were tucked away in sections that weren't provided for definition. Some of the rules were established inside definition sections. Some of the terms were perhaps less than accurate. So we took this opportunity to go ahead and look at the regulations as a whole and also to address those things. Once we did that, we also looked at the other agency regulations, both inside fishing and inside hunting, something we hadn't looked at before, to see how our regulations lined up with them. So we were seeking both clarity and uniformity and trying to make sure that we're using the proper language all the way across. Lastly, that law repealed RCW 77.32.238, which, as you know, addressed the shooting from a vehicle rules. And because of that, we had to step in and do a regulation on shooting from a vehicle that is part of this package as well. Going through the proposed rule package itself, as to the first WAC, 220-200-190, that particular WAC is a new WAC, and in fact, it's the WAC we use to define the process of acquiring a disability designation. And we also provide an appeals process for an adverse decision. For example, if somebody says, I have a disability, I think I qualify, and we write them back and say, based on the document submitted, we don't think you do. Now we have an appeals process, so a person can go quickly and say, well, I don't disagree with that. Maybe I didn't give you all the right information. What am I missing? So we're excited to have an appeals process as part of that. I think it'll give us better due process and fairness in the program and allow people to do things without having to resort to other means to try to resolve these issues. The second WAC, 220-200-160, that is a current WAC that we have amended basically just to clarify terms and get uniformity and clarity. WAC 220-200-170, the special use permits, we amended that. Interestingly, we did that for clarity of terms and to harmonize its use so that it jived with what was used in fishing and hunting and the other reasonable accommodation rules package that we had. Looking at 220-200-180, suspension of a special use permit, this is a new regulation. This is the regulation that we are submitting to follow for purposes of, you know, what happens if somebody has a special use permit and they don't use it properly. I mean, if I can just take an aside for just a second, one of the most difficult things we face in ADA is where someone who has a disability and has a special use permit is basically allowed to do something other people can't do. So other hunters out there in the field see this and say, gee, that just doesn't seem fair. That guy gets to use something I can't use. And it may make it, you know, in their opinion, they think it makes it easier for them to get a kill when they can't. And so this can give rise to issues if the special use permit isn't properly used. So, for example, if we've got a complaint that somebody has access to a particular roadway and they're standing outside of it with their hunter's companion card saying, anybody want to go hunt with me? And there might be more than one person there. The stories are replete, and I don't want to assert any of these things as fact or close to any specific instances we might be looking at. But just in globally, if somebody sees somebody doing something untoward with their hunter companion card or inviting people across the gate that shouldn't be there, or more than one companion or whatever else, we run into these compliance issues with the special use permits. Or we allow somebody to go someplace and they destroy the property. Yeah, that's an issue. Then, you know, we face these things and it makes it look bad. So for us with an ADA program, we're very afraid of that. We're not very afraid of it. We're just concerned about it. We want to have a good reputation. So conduct is important to us. This particular provision deals with that conduct, and the attempt in drafting it was to make it on level with the enforcement provisions we use in both fishing and hunting, so that we weren't punishing people worse or better than violations in those programs. We were punishing them the same. The regulation also only deals with violations that relate directly to the special use permit. Okay, we've given you a condition. You have to do this, and they don't do that. In that situation, we can suspend the permit. Obviously, in these situations, it's very important, if there's any dispute, that there be an opportunity for hearing, and an immediate one at that, especially, say, for example, we have a two-week-long hunting season or some very quick season for which they need to get an answer quickly. In that situation, we've provided an immediate right to appeal. So the second somebody's privilege is suspended, they have an immediate right to file in and request an appeal, and the appeal will be heard by an administrative law judge, a true independent third party, which I think is valuable. It'll bring integrity to our program, and that's the feeling. So that is what that is about. Moving forward really quickly, WAC 223.05, 120, harvesting of shellfish. Basically, that was one where we cleaned up terms again and clarified some of the rules on the harvester companions. WAC 224.13.140, hunting game birds, the same thing. We used the opportunity to clarify terms in that again and to straighten up some of the language. We also used this particular reg to address the shooting from a vehicle placard process, since that had been done away by statute and we were told to institute it by rule or felt we needed to. We used this as the opportunity to do that. Under these regulations, the agency would issue a new blue shooting from a vehicle placard. As you know, right now they're orange. But we'd be issuing a blue one, and we'll be issuing that through the special use permit process. And that replaces what used to happen in the old days. Up till now, if somebody applied and received a disability designation, they were automatically sent a shooting from a vehicle placard, one of the orange ones. So if you'll go back to that original graph, we had 54,000 people that have one of those this year. Regardless of what their disability may be. And remember, in ADA, we try to give accommodations based on the limitations involved, right? If somebody has an arm limitation, we want to provide them with an accommodation for their arm. In this particular instance, we're going to use a special use permit so that if people really do need to be shooting from their vehicle, they'll have the ability to do that through the special use program. If they don't, we'll have to be addressing that. In that regard, as you'll see on one of our later slides, we did address that with the ADA committee. We wanted to know how they felt about that and what their thoughts were. They actually passed a motion and sent it to you all, and I know you all have received it and are knowledgeable. stating that they thought in this instance it was the right thing to do, to proceed with this regulation. They also believed that it was incumbent upon us, because we were changing the rules, to, number one, let everybody know and participate in getting the message out, and number two, to allow people an opportunity to actually participate in the special use process and have time to do that. So in that regard, I thought their comments were informative, and I would highlight that for you. I believe that shows up on the summary sheet under the recommended course of action going forward. Lastly, we're going to address WAC 2241-3210, the trapping of fur-bearing animals. This is our new trapping accommodation, and we're delighted to put that forward. Again, we're sort of on the cutting edge on this and sort of excited to get it going. It allows the use of a hunting companion within conditions and limitations to actually participate in trapping for persons that might have a mobility disability, for example. Recommended adjustments since the filing of the 102. There are four. Three of them deal with one reg. The last one, our new hunting or trapping regulation. And those replace the word patrolling, which seemed like a confusing word. People had difficulty figuring out what that meant. So we just used checking the traps, just for clarity's sake. And the other one involves WAC 220, 200, 160 in Section 1, including the language "such as, but not limited to allow for those situations that might slip between the definitions we have listed in 160 and encompass people with disabilities. Public comments on this, we only received two. The first one was a question about how the process would work with the fishing placards. The second one asked for more fishing access sites and didn't seem to be associated with any particular proposed regulation. Again, we worked with the advisory committee on that. As you could tell from yesterday, this is a really good group that spent a lot of time looking at this and talking about it. I'm delighted to know that they've endorsed this feel good about the direction we're going and how we're doing it. There's no public opposition to the CR 102. And that's Melissa from yesterday.
Yeah, we were just
commenting on that.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Look at that.
That track's really amazing. She actually has the ability to get up on top of a ridge and shoot down. And remember when Z was talking to you about teaching manners out there? If she's hunting on top of a ridge, if there are other hunters down in the valley, it can disrupt her hunt.
Yeah.
And so they were talking about trying to teach that through Hunter's Ed,
right,
so that there was better appreciation for how exactly that worked. Yeah, pretty amazing people.
And a great spokesperson for the department.
That one?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They all are. It's an impressive group. I appreciate the commission taking interest in this committee and providing the insight to understand where it needed to go and how it needed to go there. It could not have happened without you. As I told my supervisor today, this wasn't me, this was a lot of people, and it started at the commission. So greatly appreciative of what you've done for us, and appreciate the open doors that you're allowing this program and these people, and we hope to be worthy of your trust.
It's only the beginning.
Yes, it is.
And vice versa, Sam, you've made it easy.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
You've made it easy.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
As you've seen the change in the committee structure,
wow.
We've seen the change in the leadership within the office.
Of course.
From some dark days a couple years ago.
You know, it's amazing when these people, it's amazing the response.
Yeah.
I couldn't be more thrilled, and we appreciate all your support.
Great. And there's no public input for this item. And we'll wait to hear back. We stand ready to serve, sir.
Very good. Thank you.